to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have beaten, and I mean routed, the technical gremlins that were plaguing us that first hour. We are at 110% full strength. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards here with you. Saturday night, July 3rd, 2010. It's the day before Independence Day, and we're happy to be with you this holiday weekend, live and unrehearsed here on the award-winning Political Cesspool Radio program, coming to you, as always, from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting online, where you can listen to us via the Internet or on the broadcast archives if you missed the live show. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is where you'll need to go. And libertynewsradio.com, either one. Now, first hour, Keith Alexander, excellent as always. We talked about how liberals are calling for a living constitution. Elena Kagan, the perfect nominee for the Supreme Court, says a tongue-in-cheek Paul Gottfried. We talked about the lack of diversity in major league sports in America. And how gun control is racist. If you missed any of that, you got to go back and catch it in the broadcast archives, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, very quickly, a program announcement. If you have not bought your copy of my new book yet, we've got a great deal for you. Show your patriotic colors by ordering before the clock runs out on Sunday, July 4th, and we'll throw in a limited edition Political Cesspool bumper sticker absolutely free of charge. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Buy a copy of my hot new book before the end of tomorrow night, anywhere between now and then, and you'll receive a collectible TPC bumper sticker as our gift to you. Kick off this holiday weekend with a bang by purchasing the critically acclaimed book that is certainly making waves. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org for more information and to make your purchase. Now joining me, Winston Smith is joining me now. And Winston, something came up, I guess it was maybe yesterday, earlier this week, I don't know, it just came to my attention today. Mel Gibson has allegedly used the N-word. And to that I say, so what? Does freedom of speech exist in this country or not? Somewhere between the 1960s and today, it must have become, Winston, a civil right for minorities to enjoy life without ever having to be offended. Never mind the fact that Mel is only said to have referred to blacks that which they refer to themselves in every rap song on the market. Quite frankly, I am more concerned with the displacement of European Americans in this country than what is said by a celebrity in a private conversation that somehow finds its way to the media, who, of course, all too eagerly feigned the horror over this non-story. And this is what they're reporting. In an explosive new audio tape, Mel Gibson is allegedly caught calling his girlfriend several obscenities, adding that she dressed too sexy and would get, quote, raped by a pack of N-words, end quote. Now, for the record, I'm a huge Mel Gibson fan. I think he's one of the finest actors in the business and has been for a very long time. What he said may be in poor taste, but that's not to say that there weren't some elements of truth there, like minorities' propensity for rape, violence, and other assorted crimes. My only advice to Mel would be to articulate his feelings in perhaps a less controversial way. And for God's sake, whatever you do, Mel, don't apologize to the scumbag Hollywood media this time if your latest infraction against the false gods of political correctness should prove to be true. If anything, those who own Hollywood owe us an apology, the American people, for their role in the production of such filth over the course of the past 50 years. And fans, of course, of the Political Cesspool will remember that we had an exclusive interview with Hutton Gibson, Mel's dad, earlier this year. The hour-long interview led to, surprise, surprise, numerous attacks from the Hollywood gossip crowd, led by His Highness, the pervert, Paris Hilton himself. In response, though, Hutton Gibson, Mel's father, a man for whom I hold the utmost amount of respect, posted the audio of his interview with us on his official website. And to revisit that stellar show, please consult our broadcast archives and select the program dated January 9th of this year. Winston, your thoughts on the Mel Gibson quote-unquote controversy?
Yeah, that was some pretty good stuff. Did you really watch that?
I did, actually.
Of course you did. Folks, James does write those blog entries, and I'm commenting sort of facetiously, sort of tongue-in-cheek, that was very well stated, James. You pretty much said it all. You're absolutely right. The things that Mel Gibson says off-screen are far more offensive than anything than Jew-dominated Hollywood can put on the screen. Things like Brokeback Mountain, well, just name stuff, any movie these days, chances are it's pretty much filth. But that gets a pass, whereas something that Mel Gibson allegedly uttered years ago, this is years ago, it has suddenly become explosive. Now, I remember when Harry Reid, it came out that Harry Reid made his statement about Barack Obama not speaking in a Negro dialect. That was excused because it happened a long time ago, and as Obama said, it was inartfully expressed. But this was something that Mel Gibson said in private to a woman who he is obviously trying to protect. He probably had a good point, because we all know that the vast majority of interracial rapes are black on white, black men raping white women, and it's an epidemic. It is an epidemic proportions out there.
That is, of course, Winston.
That doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter. Even the possibility of truth doesn't matter. The fact is that he said something that offended a federally protected class.
Well, Winston, if I said it all, you added the icing to the cake with that commentary, and that really is about it. I mean, I just don't see how, I just don't see what the big deal is. I guess maybe I'm insensitive. Maybe I was born a few decades too late, but, I mean, come on. And, of course, you know, Mel Gibson's biggest offense was making The Passion of the Christ. Those who dominate Hollywood certainly didn't appreciate that too much. And it's because they hate Christ. They hate Christianity. They hate Mel Gibson for being a Christian. And, sure, I mean, you know, again, perhaps Mel Gibson could have articulated himself in a more polished way. But, again, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not going to jump on the guy and say what everybody else is saying. That's why I think this show has become so popular. That's why The Political Cesspool has such a large audience, is because we say things that basically mirror and echo the way common people think and feel. And we're the only ones doing it. I mean, we're the only ones doing it on certain taboo issues for which we're well known. And we're going to continue to do it. So, you know, keep your head up, Mel. Hang in there. You know, I was just watching Maverick today, by the way, 1994 movie with Mel Gibson and James Garner. Pretty good stuff.
That was an excellent movie. I enjoyed it. I've watched it several times. He was very good in that.
I read the story and had to pop in the DVD. What can I say? Well, ladies and gentlemen, much more coming tonight. We're not even halfway through the program this evening. Glad to have Winston on board with me for this hour. Winston's going to be sharing with you his thoughts on the Russian spy ring that just got busted up. Did you see that girl, by the way, in New York? My goodness. Do you have any commentary on her, Winston? Maybe we'll find that out in the next segment. But coming up later, Jimmy X, host of Radio X on the Liberty News radio affiliate AM 1650 in Buffalo, New York. He'll be joining Winston and I to provide commentary on Barack Obama basically absolving the Black Panther thugs from any crimes they may have committed in intimidating white voters up there in Philadelphia last election cycle, 2008. We're going to be talking with him about that and more. And then in the third hour, in what may be tonight's main event, maybe, Eddie the Bombardier Miller has with us a sheriff from a county that sits right on that American border with Mexico, and he is going to let it all hang loose. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be talking live with a man who is the highest elected official in the county, the sheriff, who is going to war to put America first and protect our sovereignty against this illegal alien invasion. All that still to come tonight as the political cesspool continues. But we talked in the first hour about how gun control is racist. At least that's what the so-called conservative Cato Institute says. We provided some commentary for that for you at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Did you also know that swans were racist, Winston? Did you know that swans were racist?
That's a great story. I've read that several times just for the sheer joy of it.
I don't know. I mean, it's so absurdly ridiculous. I don't know if it's even worthy of mention on the political cesspool that people are so sick in the head that some people can be so infected with the disease of political correctness or cultural Marxism that a story like this is reported on in a major newspaper. We might cover that before we get into the Russians. We'll find out when we come back.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right. It's a holiday weekend, ladies and gentlemen. It's the day before Independence Day. You're going to have to give me a little leniency and allow me to waste about 3 minutes of time on the night's program to bring to you a story that would be sort of funny and silly if it weren't so real. This is what we were referring to before the last break about the swans being racist. This comes from a newspaper overseas, a fairly prominent one, and it shows that multiculturalists don't have the common sense that God gave a goose. And the article headline reads, "White Swans Impose Naval Blockade on Black Feathered Cousins." Here's the story. In recent weeks, a pair of European swans at a safari park in Australia have been refusing to let the black Australian swans enter the safari's pond and swim there. The blockade launched by the white swans has been particularly hard on the black swans as the temperature climbed over the past few days. Safari workers note that the move began a few weeks ago when the swans' caretakers noticed that a pair of white swans were not allowing a pair of black swans to take a dip in their pond. The two types of swans, safari worker explained, have until now lived side by side for many years without any particular problems. At first, the workers thought this was a temporary measure that would end in a day or two. The caretakers thought it was aggressiveness related to the courting season of the white swans. But the white swans have not shown any signs of courtship. Oh, no. They have not started building nests and have not acted like swans in the midst of mating season. Still, the blockade has continued. Since then, safari workers note, each morning the male and female white swans can be seen patrolling back and forth near the entrance to the pond. And each time a black swan tries to find relief from the heat in the cool pond waters, they are immediately chased away. They have left the black swans a very small swath of land, said Dr. Gilad Goldstein. What a shocker. In order to ease the situation for the black swans, the workers distribute food for them in several spots near the pond, and also in some more distant spots, in order to get the white swans to move a little away from the pond and open the entrance to the water and allow the black swans to bathe in it. If this doesn't stop, Goldstein said, we'll have to find a solution for the black swans in order to restore tranquility to their lives. In the meantime, we're trying all sorts of measures to open the water channels to them. The caretakers are using peace activists to deal with this. Winston, they're serious about that. That sounds like something that they're joking about, but it's all too real.
Yes, it is, and the fact that there's a guy named Goldstein on the case should tell you just about everything you need to know about why this is becoming such an issue.
Well, we've got to integrate this pond. They've got to send in the Australian equivalent of the National Guard. They got to arrest these white swans. They got to pass some civil rights measures. They got to give out some welfare, some affirmative action, some quotas. By God, we've got to have a diverse pond there, and if we don't, you're just going to have to drain it. We're just going to have to drain it completely.
I think the official political cesspool stand on this issue is that these white swans should definitely set about mating. We need more white swans just like them.
True enough, Winston, and there you have it.
There's a lesson in nature, something that all white people could learn. There it is right there, folks. What more do you need to know? These white swans, they've got more sense than God gave a goose. I wish we had more of it.
Well, be that as it may, this is one of the biggest controversies plaguing Australia right now, and I'm sure that the High Court will step in and render a solution favorable to those being allegedly oppressed. Now, Winston, you mentioned something.
We should have a pool or something to see just how long it takes them to extract these white swans from this area and throw them in an enclosure somewhere. You know, essentially put them in swan jail, put them in a zoo or something.
Yeah, they might just euthanize them. Who knows?
Yeah, they might. I mean, they might just make an exhibit out of them saying, "Come see the racist swans. They're swanists."
Well, I know these swans would never have a career in World Cup soccer. At least neither of them would be allowed to be a team captain. That's for sure.
Maybe you have to go back in a movie.
Revisit the, this would be the equivalent. They'll make a movie about this one day. The swan pool burning or something like that. All right. Now moving on to something somewhat more serious. You were bringing up, and you're going to actually have an interesting commentary about this, Winston, although we only have about 5 minutes to break, about the Russian spy ring and what everyone's talking about it, of course, but nobody in the mainstream media, so-called mainstream media, is making the point that you're about to make, Winston. But the point I want to make is, why couldn't the ADL or the SPLC send this, you know, Russian spy from New York down to spy on us? You remember that the SPLC sent that young lady, the college student, to pose as a fan of this show to try to get an interview and try to get us in a compromising situation some years back in 2007, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Why couldn't she have looked like this one?
Well, let's just get it out in the open. Yes, that woman is a hottie. That's really all you have to say about it. And Mrs. Smith, she agrees with me. That woman is extremely good looking, but you know, that's the white race for you. We're a beautiful race. Our women are the most beautiful women in the world. But I'm sure, unless you've been living in a case and where you've heard about this situation up in New York, in which 10 or 11 suspected Russian spies have been captured, and I've read a lot of stories about this, James. And there's one line in one story that really set me to thinking. And this line says, prosecutors have charged Chapman, that's the good-looking Russian woman, and 10 other suspects with following orders by Russian intelligence to become, quote, Americanized, unquote, enough to infiltrate policy-making circles and feed information back to Moscow. Now, James, what I find intriguing about this is that these Russians are being prosecuted for the exact same thing that Israeli spies are routinely let off for.
Don't stop now.
I direct your attention to the May 4th edition of the CFCC website, in which they report about the two IPAC spies, Stephen Rosen and Keith Reisman. These are employees of IPAC who have been sending sensitive information to Israel through IPAC, sensitive information. They were spying. And yet one of the whistleblowers who caught these guys, that whistleblower is in jail, but the Department of Justice dropped this case against these two Israeli spies. And, James, this is not just this is not an unusual situation. This is an instance of the average. This happens all the time. We catch their spies all over the place. And they are simply either returned to Israel, in which case they're simply returned back here, or they're simply let back on the street. But now these Russians they are feeling the full weight of U.S. law enforcement, and that's it's just ridiculous. It's hypocrisy, of course, and we can sit around pointing out hypocrisy all day long. My gosh, we're good at it. But you know, let that woman go, for crying out loud.
Where do you want her to go?
Seriously, James, don't you find that to be a rather interesting, an interesting hypocrisy? Where Israel,
well, I mean, it would be interesting if it weren't so typical. You know, certainly we're all for, as good as she looks, this woman being punished justly But so too should any spy, even the Jewish ones, even them. We got to say it. You know, of course, it's just another classic double standard. Hypocrisy reigns in political correctness. They have no sense of fair play. And it's all about whoever's in power. The breaks are going to go their way. But we'll continue to see how this plays out. But that's just our take on a very popular story that's making the world news this week. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, moving right along now into the second half of tonight's show. We welcome to our radio broadcast our good friend Jimmy X, host of Radio X on AM 1650 in Buffalo, New York. I had the privilege of being on Jimmy's show just a couple of weeks ago while I was promoting my new book, which, by the way, if you order between now and the end of tomorrow night, we'll throw in this limited time offer, a free Political Cesspool bumper sticker with your purchase. So for more information, go to racismbook.com, racismbook.com to buy the book tonight and take advantage of this special holiday treat. But, Jimmy, great to have you this evening on the Political Cesspool.
Well, thank you very much, James. How are you doing tonight?
Buddy, I'm doing good, even better now that you've joined us, because I know you have got some, you've got one hot-button issue on the agenda, and then you're going to wing it with me and Winston for the remainder of the time. But before we get into Obama's basically giving a pass to the Black Panther thugs who are intimidating white voters in Philadelphia in 2008. You've got the scoop on that and some commentary to follow. Tell us a little bit more about your program and your radio network, which, of course, you syndicate the Political Cesspool on.
That's right. Well, there's several things going on here at once, James, and I'll try to make it as simple as possible to not take up too much time. Actually, my show, Radio X, is actually on another network, okay? But I have a micro station here in town, and also we have our own little network now that we're getting more and more live programming on that emanates out of our studios here outside of Buffalo, New York. The show airs 1 to 3 Eastern Time, 12 to 2 Central, on Oracle, and you can hear that there, or you can listen to it at our site at micro1650am.com. Take your pick.
No, you're very welcome, Jimmy, and thank you. If you like the Political Cesspool, you'll love Jimmy's show. He covers many of the same topics and interviews quite a few of the same guests. Of course, it's not a carbon copy of our show. He does his own thing and does it quite well. But if you like listening to the Political Cesspool on Saturday, listen to Jimmy on Sunday there at the website he just mentioned, micro1650am.com. Now, Jimmy, we will plug that again before you leave us this evening, but give us your thoughts. First of all, set the table. Let us know what exactly happened with that Black Panther case and what you think about the results.
Well, as you are well aware, James, there was the blatant evidence that, of course, we saw the YouTube video, which I believe is still floating around out there, of these new Black Panthers in Philadelphia dressed in military garb with what can only be described as weapons, intimidating white people as they were going into polling places, telling them that if they knew what was good for them, they better vote for Obama. Now, the last time I checked, James, that is a federal offense, voter intimidation. Perhaps I'm incorrect.
Well, you are incorrect, Jimmy. It's only a federal offense if white people do things like that to minorities. It's apparently, and I'm just going by what's apparent here as this case has unfolded, apparently it's not a crime if the inverse is an action.
Well, I guess not, because a former Justice Department attorney by the name of J. Christian Adams wrote a scathing article in Newsmax.com on Sunday, June 27th, and I just saw this earlier this week, and I almost fell off my chair. This guy goes on, or a woman, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, to be honest with you, but he claims that he and other justice attorneys diligently pursued the case and obtained an entry of default after defendants ignored the charges
before final judgment could be entered in May 2009. Their superiors ordered us to dismiss the case, he said. The new Black Panther case was the simplest and most obvious violation of federal law I saw in my Justice Department career. Well, clearly it is, and it certainly doesn't take an attorney, James, to have seen that video on YouTube and not think exactly the same thing. We're talking blatant intimidation. But again, because we live in post-Obama America now, where apparently it's payback time for all of us who are not in the protected minority group, I guess that now we don't even have, we can't even bring up charges against this type of criminality. In fact, this man goes, or woman again, goes on to say that some of the co-workers argued that the law should not be used against Black wrongdoers, if you can believe that one. Not used against Black wrongdoers because of the long history of slavery and segregation. How many more millennia are we going to hear that one?
Well, how much more can they cash in on it? Because they have not only equal rights now, but preferential treatment across the board, anywhere they could possibly want to use it. So, I mean, how much more are we going to have to pay? In fact, as Pat Buchanan himself said, another good friend of ours on this show, coming over to America was the best thing that ever happened to them. They were not only giving all of these rights, but preferential treatment. They were introduced to Christianity and a cornucopia of other goods.
Absolutely.
Given the opportunity to prosper and make a living for themselves. I guarantee you, all of these oppressed minorities in this country, so-called, would not dare trade places with any of their brothers who were left in Africa. I promise you, but that's neither here nor there. Winston, your thoughts on this Black Panther story, as Jimmy has so eloquently brought it to our attention.
James, Pat Buchanan was absolutely right, but, you know, he's not the only person to make that observation. The great writer Zora Neale Hurston, she was a writer of the so-called Harlem Renaissance back in the 1930s, I believe it was, and she said slavery was the price she paid for civilization, and she was grateful for it. But that's beside the point. Jimmy, I'd like to ask you what you think about this. Since they got away with it this time, do you expect we'll see this more often?
I think we're going to see it come November for sure. Depending on the locale, you know, maybe not everywhere in the United States, but I certainly think that this dismissal pretty much gives groups like this carte blanche, does it not?
Well, it does. It's only going to encourage more actions like this. Any grade schooler could draw that conclusion. And if it weren't for our show, Liberty News Radio Network, people like you, Jimmy, and who have other radio outlets, this was a story that, for all intents and purposes, has been basically swept under the rug to little fanfare. Now, it goes without saying, and I hate to even bring it up, but if the opposite had been in play and white people, you know, some hillbillies, or as they would be referred to, were trying to intimidate Black voters, as we heard was the case in the 60s, we still hear about that. Well, this would be the biggest news story in the world this week.
Absolutely. Now, let me just, if I may, gentlemen, just let me read the next sentence or two here, because this is even more profound than what I just mentioned. This person goes on to say, core American principles of equality before the law and freedom from racial discrimination are at risk here. He says less charitable individuals in his associates called it payback time. Incredibly, after the case was dismissed, instructions were then given that no more cases against racial minorities, like the Black Panther case, would be brought by the voting section. So there it is, Eric Holder, Obama, and the thugs, apparently now the minority thugs in Washington, have told us, James, unequivocally, that we are not ever going to bring suit against any kind of action like this.
And if you have a problem with that, Jimmy, what are you?
Well, you're a racist. You know that, James. All one has to do is read that fabulous book of yours. But isn't this unbelievable? When I saw this, I almost fell off my chair. Because this is what I've been saying for the last couple of years on my show. This is where we're heading, folks. And I've been calling this, James, when Obama came out of nowhere to run for president, and I started to listen to this guy, and I got a little primer on his background, I said, folks, we're in trouble. We are in big trouble.
Well, the trouble is just beginning, and we've not yet seen the end of it. Of course, we've been in trouble since 1954. It all started with Brown versus Board, as Keith so often points out, and it's just been going steadily and more rapidly downhill since. But this is something that almost defies logic. I mean, this is the President of the United States giving anti-white thugs the authority to break federal law carte blanche. That, Winston, is something that every taxpaying, voting, hardworking, middle-class white American should take issue with. And, well, I mean, where are they?
Well, James, one thing that should happen is those same people that you just mentioned, the hardworking, middle-class white people who work and pay the welfare payments to those Black Panther thugs, they should remember this. And when Obama sets off on his town hall meetings, if any white people are allowed to go into those things and ask a question, they need to have people there ready to ask Obama point blank, why was this allowed to happen? Why, when we have so much evidence, we have the video evidence, we have more evidence than you could ever ask for of a blatant violation of federal law, why were they allowed to get rid of it? What is the, why were they allowed to get away with it? What is the rationale behind it? Do you support that?
Well, we'll have to leave it at that for now and continue after the break. We are coming up on a break. You're listening to the Political Cesspool Radio Program with James Edward, Winston Smith, and our guest Jimmy X, host of Radio X on AM 1650 in Buffalo, New York. We'll be back with more. Buy my book in the meantime, racismbook.com. See you in a minute.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
You know, once in a blue moon, we do a little open mic show. And last week was one of those occasions. We opened up the phone lines for the second and third hour of our live broadcast, and we had wall-to-wall phone calls and some great ones. I apologize for the people we weren't able to get to last week. And while we haven't officially opened up the phone lines tonight, we do have a gentleman on the line in Massachusetts that has been patiently waiting, and I am going to get to him in just a moment. But first, I want to cover one more topic with my co-host Winston Smith, our special guest for this hour, Jimmy X. And we were talking, of course, in the last segment about how clearly minorities now don't just enjoy preferential treatment when it comes to hiring and things of that nature. But now, at least in the case of the Black Panthers in their voter intimidation stunt in Philadelphia, they are absolved from having to adhere to federal law even. So continuing on with that theme, gentlemen, I've found this to be the case. And this further illustrates our point that our people have little to no rights left when push really comes to shove. Evangelical Christians, of which I am one. I'm a Christian. Winston, you're a Christian. This is a Christian radio program, explicitly so. We don't mince words about that. Unfortunately, as political correctness has spread like a disease to all of our institutions, the media, academia, even the church, a lot of churches in this day and age have become completely sold on the false doctrine of cultural Marxism. But some Christians are finally waking up to smell the coffee. And as I wrote on the blog, it's unfortunate that it's about 30 years after the coffee maker shorted out and burned the house down. But as I mentioned, these Christians and some of these big mega churches love equality and diversity so much that they continually embarrass themselves. And they had no problem with the government outlawing freedom of speech and freedom of association for people that the media claims to be racist and bigots. They were cool with that. But now that they are starting to lose the rights because of their unpopular views, they're suddenly troubled by the infringement of individual liberties. Here's the scoop from the Associated Press. In a 5-4 vote, the court voted in favor of the policy at University of California's Hastings College of the Law that would not recognize or give funding to the Christian Legal Society because it required its members and officers to sign a statement of faith that included a, quote, unrepentant participation in or advocacy of a sexually immoral lifestyle or inconsistent with that faith. However, the CLS does welcome students of any beliefs to come to their Bible stories. Bible studies, I should say, because there are very few other public universities that have the same policy as Hastings College. The Alliance Defense Fund, the group that represented the Christian Legal Society, expects the ruling to have little immediate effect on other students' groups. But what they're saying here, essentially, gentlemen, is this, that the Hastings policy actually requires Christian groups to allow atheists to lead its Bible studies, and that the college Democrats should have to accept Republican officers, and that's another example that they're trying to use to kind of take the venom out of their stand in order for the groups to be recognized on campus. What they're saying is essentially, and this is a case that went all the way up to the Supreme Court, Christians cannot have groups in which, this is a long story short, they make people sign a pledge saying they are going to remain free of sexual immorality, homosexuality, so on and so forth. They have a problem with it now, Winston.
Well, of course they do. What this does, James, among other things, is it violates their freedom of association. In this country, you have a freedom of association, which means you have the right to not associate with people with whom you don't want to associate with. Now, they can make the argument that they can still meet. They're just not going to get any. They're not going to get any school money to do it. But take any other. I bet if you look down the list of school funded groups on that campus, you'll find the most perverted, the most irreligious, the most hostile to Christianity. You'll find any one of those groups, and let a Christian go in and try to get a leadership position in there. And they're going to be laughed out of place. In fact, they're going to be treated badly. They're going to be forced to get out of Dodge because those other groups, they don't want Christians in their midst.
Well, no, of course not. And for more information about that, go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can read all about it. I'm going to let
Jeff. You can also
order
the book Racism Schmacism.
That's right, racismbook.com. If you want to read, if you want to read it, if you want to buy it.
Yeah, it's certainly in there. Just a quick comment about it. My old high school, I graduated from. I don't live in that town anymore. I live north of the city of Buffalo now, in another suburb. But I was just talking to a couple of friends of mine who I haven't seen in a while, who I went to school with, and they told me that they were having some issues at the school because of the very same thing, where there's this gay, lesbian, and transgender club that has the right to meet on Tuesdays and Thursdays there. And they tried to form I guess you could call it some sort of Christian group, sort of a, just more or less a religious group that didn't really say you had to be Christian, but, you know, basically the homosexual thing, of course, is, not a Christian thing. So once the homosexual kids got a hold of that, they just ripped that up, and these kids are no longer allowed to do it. But the gay, lesbian, and transgender group is, of course, to continue to do as they please on Tuesdays and Thursdays after school in a publicly funded building.
That being said, and thank you for the commentary, Jimmy, I'm going to let Jeff from Massachusetts make a comment, and Jimmy will give you the final word. Whatever he brings up, you can reply. Jeff, thank you for waiting patiently, my friend. You're on the line.
Oh, yes. Very, very simple. You have this black preacher named James David Manning, who talks about pretty much the same thing, which is, in fact, I'm going to use my words, it's a blessing for black people to be in this country, basically. And you can find it all over YouTube, pretty much, that James David Manning talks about this type of theme, which is blacks are better off, we're better off coming on ships and coming to this country than being in Africa. And that makes a lot of sense because if I was a black person, I would not want to live in the Sudan under Muslim rulership. I think it's in southern or northern Sudan that is Muslim. I would not want to live there, nor would I want to live in northern Nigeria that's Muslim or on the border of it. So you know, there's people out there that know. We're not the only ones that are just crying in the wind. Guys, I thank you for having me on the broadcast, and do have a good one.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being a listener. You know, Pat Buchanan, of course, this caller was getting back to a subject we covered earlier. Pat Buchanan, again, to invoke his name to the program, said it best with regard to all of the complaining that we get from minorities in this country. He said it very succinctly. We've heard the grievances. Where's the gratitude? If you left it to the so-called black leaders to tell the story, there's never been anything good that has happened to black people in this country. Jimmy, with that, I'll give you the final word, and please, by all means, take the time to plug your fine work one more time.
All right, well, let me just say that, you know, again, Jeff, that'd be the second time I spoke to Jeff today. I was on a show earlier today, and he happened to be listening to that show, too, I guess. But the thing is that, you know, as you state in your book, okay, we've got to really get our collective rear ends together here and start to take issue with this nonsense that we're facing right now. When a group of thugs like the New Black Panthers simply are allowed to, you know, I mean, really, I guess with impunity, do as they please, simply because of past indiscretions, then we have got to do something to take this country back, James. I'm sorry, but we have lost control, and this ship is heading down.
All right, Jimmy, I had some trouble hearing you there at the final couple of sentences, but as we run out of time, I want to ask you one more time to plug your website, plug the fine work you're doing over there with your radio program before we run out.
Sure, Radio X, 1 to 3 Eastern Time, noon to 2 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. You can hear it there. You can also hear it at micro1650am.com, and of course, for all the folks that are listening right now, they're already here, James, because we got a bunch of listeners on our web stream right now listening to this show, and they do it every Saturday night. So,
and we welcome them all. Any friend of yours, Jimmy, is a friend of ours. You do great work. We salute you. We encourage all of the listeners of the Political Cesspool to support Jimmy and his radio program. He's given out the website a couple of times. Check him out. There are other shows out there like ours who are doing good work, and they all need to be supported. This is one of the biggest downfalls of the American right. We don't support our own.
No, we don't, James. You're absolutely correct.
And we need to, financially, spiritually, and otherwise, support the people who are standing on the front lines of this culture war. Jimmy, thank you so much for your time tonight, my friend. Thank you for being our guest. Winston Smith, my friend, as always, great to co-host the show with you. Thank you for your services and what you brought to the table this evening. We'll hear from Winston next week, but stay tuned for more of the third hour still forthcoming.
Rising sun.